com.
We just want the world and the nation to know that Vicky died a hero, that she was protecting her children. Vicky was the ringleader of the family. She was vibrant, full of life.
The love that's coming across the country from around the world, it means a lot to us. Not just the toys and the flowers and the teddy bears, it's the people.
Remembering a teacher and remembering to appreciate the feelings of massive love and support the people in Newtown are receiving from the rest of the world. What will it take to right this wrong? I don't think we could answer that in 15 shows. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're having a great holiday so far. We're getting closer and closer for many of us to the actual day. It's less than a week away. Can you believe it? What a year 2012 has been. We'll look back on 2012, the highs, the lows, and the just damn depressing things that have happened. There have been some crazy scandals, without a doubt. This mass shooting has to be the cap or the worst, and the questions abound as to how do we keep schools safer, what's it going to take to change some of the unthinkable things that have happened when it comes to open firing on crowds in malls, schools, and in places where that just should not happen, especially when you think of schools and 6- and 7-year-olds. What should they be thinking about? What's in front of them? Learning languages or math or why a grasshopper does what it does. A million other things other than ducking, running for cover, closing their eyes is not to look over and see one of their dead classmates, because that's what happened. Thank goodness for the first responders, though, that shielded the eyes of the little ones and the others who had to walk by a terrible scene that happened at their school and survived it. Adam Lanza turned the gun on himself. As we all know, it took 3-4 minutes before the first responders got there as fast as possible. Once he heard them entering into the school, he took his own life. So the other questions about how could this happen, why was there a connection to the school, some of those details are starting to emerge. If you haven't heard, it looks as though his mother, Nancy, was going to try to have him involuntarily committed. She was dealing with somebody who had anxiety problems, other mental health issues. We don't know all the ins and outs of it, and had he been treated or was he taking all kinds of medications? We don't know any of those details, certainly not at this point. But one thing is cleared up. If she was, in fact, and this is true, was going to commit him to a psych hospital, he didn't want to go. He wasn't going to go. And he took it out on his mother, perhaps, killed her with the guns that she would take him to the range with them in the car and go and shoot them, and he was obviously familiar with them. Once he entered that school, the whole world changed for so many people, including 20-year-old Adam Lanza. And as much as we talk about guns, and the NRA has surfaced with a statement, and they're going to have a news conference on Friday, I still think that one of the aspects that's being overlooked is all the pill pushing and lack of, in some cases, mental health facilities that can really help people, and treatments that could be available for people who are struggling with serious emotional issues. And how do you recognize those red flags? Everybody keeps talking about, well, if you know, he was an awkward, socially awkward guy, and even in school he was really super smart, but he was incredibly embarrassed to have conversations, didn't raise his hand a lot, all that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean if somebody has that personality that they're going to go and do something terrible when they turn 20. So as we talk about the red flags, I don't know how you always recognize them unless somebody is sending crazy notes out to friends through emails or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is they're using. Then maybe you know, especially if they say they're going to do something, then that's a whole different thing. But here, there was none of that that we can see anyway at this point. So I think part of the discussion, since the gun conversation is taking place, has to be over mental health policies and what the investigation is revealing about mental illness and the mass killings, because we've seen this over and over and over and over again. So the National Rifle Association, the most powerful lobbyist group in the nation that boasts a very, very big membership, released a statement today. I got it about 3 o'clock or so, and the statement said, this is the official press release about the Newtown shooting, "We were shocked, saddened, and heartbroken by the news of the horrific and senseless murders in Newtown." The short statement, "The NRA is prepared to offer meaningful contributions to help make sure this never happens again." Never happens again. And they went on to say a couple of other things about feeling for the people, and that this was a major news conference, so I'll be curious as to what that's going to be about. You know, are the guns to blame? Is it the person to blame? You know, what is it here, and what are we looking for? I mean, this is the worst elementary school shooting in our history, and I think the fact that we're having all kinds of conversations is good, because this is one thing we don't want to happen. Tragic things like what happened in Tucson, what happened at Virginia Tech, what has happened in other places where we've, the shooting in Colorado at the movie theater, the conversation, talk about what can we do, how can we help, what about guards at the school, what about a teacher being armed, what about whatever. I mean, nothing's out of bounds. Brainstorming over ways to make schools safer, brainstorming over ways to possibly sense something or somebody that's off the tracks and stop it before it happens. They need to have conversations. We need to have conversations as a nation where, you know, we're not just talking about it on talk radio. We're not just tweeting it out to other people. In reality is there's a lot of school boards, a lot of city councils, a lot of people having the talk on all sides of this, so that locally and on a national level, some things can possibly happen. And it's tough. I mean, I went through and I looked at some of the mass shootings that we've had in the past, and we can go way back in our history and look at some terrible things. Remember 2008, Northern Illinois University, 6 people killed, 21 injured. That was a bad one. There was another one at in Binghamton, New York, where 14 people were killed and 4 people were injured. And you know, there was another one that we all have talked about, and it's what happened in Arizona, the shooting there, and just in January 8th of 2011, how senseless and tragic that was. Former Representative Gabby Giffords, and the young girl that was there to hear her speak, who was Christina Green, who was just 12 years old. We have the examples. Let's really, really have the conversation. We're going to have a conversation coming up this hour with somebody who's looked at this from all different angles. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You land in Buenos Aires, then a shuttle to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities. Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Safer, and can we really make them safe? Is that possible? There is no 100%. I don't think there's a net that you can throw over children. I just don't think you can do it, but you can certainly try. If you want to offer up your 2 cents, do it by calling 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. We'll go to the mailbag here in just a few moments, but the parents and the schools and, you know, dealing with all of this, and what do you tell kids? And what about the other kids who were left behind? That school at Sandy Hook had 650 kids that were part of it, minus 20 now, sadly. And that's a small, probably close, it's a close-knit community area. It's a small town, and it's a small school. A lot of kids knew each other in the other grades, and it's got to be very tough for them. They won't go back into the school till at least January. Here's what one father said about talking to his daughters.
There was no outward manifestation that anything happened. You know, that's what's shocking about it. You know what I mean? Because my wife and I are devastated. But we don't, you know, again, I think we try to say, hey, there's no secrets. There's no secrets. You know, we want to make sure that they know, you know, that we're there and there was an issue. You know, she knows. They're crystal clear on what happened.
So the kids know, and of course they know. They're smart. They talk about it. And you can't completely, like I said, wrap them in blankets or throw a net over them. That's, we know that's not possible. All right, many of you had things to say still about what has gone on in Newtown and how you feel about it, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Corky, who says, boy, it's a crying shame, Kate Delaney, what's happened in that town in Connecticut. I have to say, I give the people there, at least the ones that I've seen on the tube, credit for being able to talk about their children and talk about their feelings. I myself would be filled with rage, I have to be honest, and it would be tough to talk me out of the trees. It really, really would. God bless those people. And here's one from Michael. Michael says, hello, America Tonight and all the people listening. I fear what's going to happen now in the future with the Second Amendment. I have to say I've softened a little bit on the so-called assault weapons, as you mentioned them, but definitely not anything to do with handguns or pure on rifles, as I am a hunter and have many varieties, if you catch my drift. I understand the outrage over crimes like this one when seemingly there is a limitless amount of ammunition and the nut who is killing innocent people is willing to hit everything in his sight. It's a shame we can't figure out a way to recognize the people who do this more than the weapon. It's not the object, it's the people. You mentioned something about mental illness, and I think that's where some of the attention needs to be paid. Yep, I think mental illness, budgets for mental illness, for screening places, that kind of stuff, a lot of that has been slashed. A lot of states offer practically zero. In fact, funding for any mental health, which would be public facilities, that kind of stuff, or being able to go in and get some relief, if I'll call it relief, some counseling, is zero. Zero in Arizona. Zero. And this is the common denominator between a lot of these shootings. These people are out of their minds. And I say that I say that in the sense that if somebody is out of their mind with whatever it is, the rage that they felt from childhood, whatever has led them to the point of going to kill innocent people in a movie theater, in a mall, children in a school, can you really stop that person? Is there a way to recognize that? Is there a way to stop that? Only if they're posting things, sending threatening things to people, and often that's what comes afterwards or is discovered afterwards. I don't know that you could see the cry for help in your face before that happens. I don't know if we can see that. And I saw something today that was talking about every time you have these shootings, you know, you talk about the what about the victims, what about how do we become safer, like I'm talking about the schools, and there's a huge backlash to that, but there's never, as it was some headline I saw where it said there's never any compassion by the shooter. It's like, wow, compassion by the, I mean, compassion for the shooter? You have to be kidding me. I think compassion for the shooter, I'm sorry, at this point is no way, no how. The thing that maybe could have happened is if his mother realized at what point he was. Because remember, she was murdered in this too, and she had been taking him to gun ranges, including 6 months before this. And she knew that she couldn't help him. She wanted to do something to get, it was her son, to get him help. So she might have been, it sounds like, been pushed to the point of having him involuntarily committed so he could get help, and this is when he snapped. And that makes sense if you look into the background of what's been said so far at this point. So there you go. Here's another one. Seems as though Newtown has really taken over your thoughts. This one from James. James says, boy, these school shootings really make you think. I have to say how lucky so many of us were in our childhood days. I'm 35. I was never worried about somebody taking a gun and running into the school and shooting us. We never even looked over our shoulders. We worried about who the best-looking girl was and who we were going to take to the prom, Kate, I got to be honest. So we didn't have those kind of childhoods. I feel so sorry for the kids today in the type of world we live in. How can you really shelter them from these kind of headlines? And do you really want to shelter them because they have to know certain things? Like what to do should someone come into a school. Yeah, isn't that... That's kind of crazy if you think about it. So now we're going to have three different drills. We've got our... We got our fire drill in case there's a fire. We have an evacuation drill in case there's some kind of a hurricane or tornado, depending on part of the country we're talking about, or some other natural possible disaster, flooding, if we're already in the school and we have to get people home, or weather, you know, weather problems. And now, on top of it, what about terrorism problems? Should somebody come to the school dressed in fatigues, looking like they want to shoot you, here's what you do. You hide in the closet. You don't make a noise. You hide under the table. And honestly, schools practice things, practice what to do if something happens. And kids are smart. These kids read. They know what's going on. They talk about it when they're playing outside. So sheltering them completely from the conversation, I don't think would work. I mean, there is now a big push for some changes, but what are the changes going to be? And what should they really do? What's realistic to do, to implement at a school? When you think of all these different personalities of all of the parents and how they feel about guns and how they feel about their children's world being introduced to what could possibly happen. So a lot of people are throwing their thoughts to the mailbag having to do with what happened in Connecticut and schools and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, where should we be when it comes to guns and what kind of weapons should be banned? But you say the word banned and then other people think, and I hate that word, ooh, banned. So here's one from, I'm going to shorten this and call it Diarena, says, most pro-gun, I like this, most pro-gun Republicans have been silent in the first week after the massacre. The NRA went so far as to suspend its Facebook and Twitter accounts for days before it broke silence, which I think is smart. Is it possible this will be the first time in decades that gun control will not be a partisan issue? Wouldn't that be something? The early signs are that prominent southern and rural Democrats now favor an assault weapons ban. But here's the thing, and they make the point, there are already lots of assault weapons out there all over the United States, so if they become illegal, there's definitely a stockpile of them, and if somebody wanted to get one, they certainly could. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, sticky, gooey syrup and photos of your family and friends have one thing in common. I'm going to tell you about that on the flip side.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. New revelations in the Adam Lanza case. The investigators trying to figure out what made him snap and kill 26 people at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Apparently, and this isn't official, but apparently his mother Nancy was getting ready to try to have him committed. She was at her wit's end, according to witnesses and some other people. As I said, this isn't official, but she was dealing with somebody who had what they're calling a borderline personality disorder. So we'll get as much information to you about it as we can as we certainly move along here. And she had been helping the school over the years here and there, and apparently he was making the connection that she loved the students, the little kids, more than him. At least that's what's being said at this point. Again, not official. Christopher Ferguson is in the wings. He's an associate professor of psychology and criminal justice. And he's kind of in my neck of the woods. He teaches at Texas A&M International University. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, so when this happens, it's the why question that really just drives us all crazy, because we want to be able to know why. You heard what I said at the top there. Does that seem like a plausible possibility, do you think?
It's possible. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's important to emphasize this is really just unofficial preliminary information going out to the public. Very often in the first days or weeks following an event like this, the kinds of information that we can get, the kinds of information that we can hear, can be quite unreliable. So we have to, you know, have that grain of salt basically in mind. But that having been said, it certainly is a plausible scenario. I mean, one of the things we do know about mass homicide perpetrators in general is that they do tend to have a history of mental health problems. That seems to be something that is a commonality across most of these instances. So that is certainly possible that, you know, if there may have been an individual who had a chronic mental illness and then perhaps faced with a scenario he didn't like, you know, may have decided to resort with violence at that time.
Yeah. Why target children? Is this we've seen this before. Certainly yeah. Columbine, everybody always talks about Columbine, but there have been other schools in between that and even before that. This isn't an unusual target, children, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, of course, in some of these cases like Columbine, the individuals were students at that school. So that is quite common to see, you know, we call them school shooters, you know, mass homicide perpetrators who attack their own places of education. But there have been cases in which even adults who had no or very tenuous ties to schools have targeted schools. In China, particularly in 2010, there were a rash of school knifings, which did result in fatalities. There also was a knifing last Friday in China that thankfully did not result in any fatalities, although many kids were injured. You know, so we do see these scenarios in which perpetrators are attacking schools. And again, you know, we're trying to make sort of sense out of a senseless thing, really, but, you know, the best guess or sort of the best approximation we have at this point is what these individuals are doing are really trying to express their rage for society. Again, that's kind of a commonality you see with mass homicide perpetrators. They're oftentimes they're blaming others for their own problems. They think that society has mistreated them. And, you know, really what, as we can see in the, you know, very emotional and heartrending reaction to the tragedy, you know, if that's your mentality, you know, what better way to, you know, strike out at society than to strike at society's, you know, weakest, most innocent, members. And yeah. I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah. As far as mental illness is concerned, do you think we do enough to help the people who have borderline disorder problems or any kind of psychiatric needs? Do we need to emphasize that a little bit more? The reason I ask you that is because I think sometimes people are afraid to seek out help because they don't want to be seen as a leper. They don't want anyone to know yeah. anything about their mental health. Do we need to change
right.
that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very difficult issue. I mean, I think in terms of are we doing enough for the mentally ill, I think quite clearly the answer is no. You know, mental health care in the United States is pretty well known for being underfunded. There are a lot of gaps in coverage, you know, particularly for people that do have chronic mental illnesses. Obtaining long-term care is very, very difficult for these individuals. You know, it is important to, you know, point out that we don't want to stigmatize the mentally ill, that, you know, the vast majority of mentally ill individuals are not violent. You know, they do not commit these types of crimes or offenses. But, you know, unfortunately, there are a small number of people with chronic mental illnesses that, if left untreated, may resort to, you know, some acts of violence, not always, you know, mass homicides, of course, but there is some risk there. And, you know, I think part of the issue, of course, is, you know, paying for all this. I mean, if we're talking about increasing mental health care, of course, that's not going to be free. And I think part of the issue is that, you know, I think people tend to think of mental health care as something like a welfare issue that, you know, why should my tax money go to help somebody else or what have you? And I think we may need to really refocus that as being as much a public health issue or public safety issue, as it is a, you know, a public health issue, that, by, you know, providing adequate care for the mentally ill, which actually is cheaper than waiting for them to go to jail, by the way. Mm-hmm. But by providing mental health care that is adequate, we, you know, taxpayers themselves may get something from that in terms of, you know, greater public safety and less risk of events like this happening.
Yeah, well said. I've been talking about that the last couple of shows. You've also looked into, you're the editor of Violent Crime, Clinical and Social Implications, and you've also written The Suicide Kings. And one of the things that you've looked at is video games and mental health. You know, we just had also the shooting in Portland, Oregon, and there have been numerous shootings that we talked about, Virginia Tech. So, in trying to reach out for the whys, which is where we started, there's also this thing about video games. And do video games make kids grow into young adults who want to go out and use guns to kill people? What did you find in your studies?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the studies that we've done here at the university, we're not with, you know, kids who are mass shooters or that sort of thing, but we were looking really at sort of kids within the community and looking at more typical kinds of youth violence and dating violence, bullying, and that sort of activity. In the studies we've done here, we've done experiments, we've done, you know, sort of longitudinal studies where we follow kids for a long period of time. We have not found any evidence that video game or television violence contributes to youth violence or any other aggressive related outcome. And it's important to point out that even in these cases of mass homicide perpetrators, exposure to violent media is not a commonality between them. We tend to have this issue in society where we kind of engage in confirmation bias that, you know, if a shooter happens to be a young male who plays video games, we highlight that, you know, video game aspect, and then we ignore it in cases where, you know, the individual is not a gamer, you know, like Amy Bishop, you know, middle-aged woman who shot up her campus in Alabama, for instance. People just don't mention video games in those sorts of scenarios. The U.S. Secret Service actually looked at this in terms of, you know, school shooters, and these were more of the young men, and found no evidence that people who are homicide perpetrators, mass homicide perpetrators, consume any more violent media than anybody else does. This is really pretty much a red herring. The Washington Post actually posted something yesterday looking at the data on video game violence consumption across nations, so comparing the U.S. to South Korea, Japan, Austria, Sweden, Switzerland, and found that per capita video game consumption is not related to gun deaths or other violence related outcomes, but the issue of gun control is. I mean, the thing that really makes the U.S. stand out is the absence of gun control laws, not its consumption of violent media. We hear a lot about this idea of a culture of violence in the U.S., and it makes for a nice talking point, but, you know, there's really nothing behind it. Using violence in media has been something that's been around since the Greeks and since fairy tales, and there's nothing unique about the U.S. In that respect.
Yeah, I like that, fairy tales. And speaking of gun control, of course, the NRA releases a statement. They're going to have a big press conference on Friday, and the nation is talking about at least assault weapons and banning assault weapons. We'll see where that goes. Do you think there's anything that we, as someone who's studied things or, you know, aspects of this, do you think that there's something besides also looking, and I thought that was great when we talk about mental health, looking at it as a public safety issue, is there anything else we can do? People keep talking about look for the red flags, but how do you look for the red flags in someone that you think might be violent?
Right. Well, the main red flag, you know, the Secret Service has suggested that we look out for is basically a lot of these perpetrators, not all of them, and at least sort of this preliminary information coming out on the Lanza case is suggesting he might be an exception as well, but with a lot of these cases, the perpetrator tells somebody that they're, you know, or gives a hint at least of what they're going to do. And there have been cases that have been, stopped before they, you know, they actually get to violence because someone did go to the authorities and said that they had some sort of information that someone was going to commit a shooting or something of that sort, or bombing or what have you. So that seems to help, at least in some cases, that people do come forward with just information or speculation that someone might be preparing to do something like that. But of course, the sad fact is that these events are very, very hard to predict. There is no panacea that is going to make these events, you know, miraculously go away. But there's a lot of talk, you know, among the politicians of, you know, this is never going to happen again. And the sad reality is that it probably is going to happen again. But we can take some steps to at least reduce the frequency of these events. And I really think we may need to look at, you know, the approaches that some other nations have taken, like the UK, for instance, or Australia, when they've had events like this. What have they done, and how successful have those efforts been in reducing the frequency, at least, of these types of events?
Yeah. Chris Ferguson, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Thank you.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you, over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression. America's worst drought in agricultural history. And now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
After 70 years, that's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him, criticize and see. And through a cracked door, a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will help on us retreat.
By their men when they cheat or are involved in a scandal, and we have a zillion examples of that, whether it's Elliot Spitzer's wife or Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, so many others too as well. Anthony Weiner and his wife, who was pregnant at the time. It seems to be politicians, but there are more than politicians where this has happened. And sometimes the marriages actually bounce back for real, not just for show. But what happens when it's the man who stands by his wife? I'm going to talk about that in just a second. We got to lighten the load a little bit. And I'm going to pick your brains and see what you think about this. We've been talking a lot about Newtown and what happened in Connecticut and how do you keep the schools safe. The NRA is going to have a big press conference or news conference rather on Friday. They say they have important piece of information that they're going to release. So it's not going to be a fluffy kind of news conference. Can't wait to see what that's about. It's great that there's a dialogue. And maybe this will be the difference, that you'll see people with hard opinions on all sides of this, not digging their heels in and playing the blame game and just shouting over each other, because that gets old. Instead, they're actually going to have a conversation, maybe. Everybody's going to have a conversation in this. Sure, why not? Let's do it. Let's set a new precedent. We're actually going to try to communicate. I love it. Let's go to Ray in Missouri. Hey, Ray in Missouri, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Kate. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call, man. What's on your mind?
I don't know. You've brought so many subjects in the past 15 minutes, I can't even think.
It's that ADD kicking in. I am pill-free, just so you know.
Me too. Whatever happened to a spanking?
I don't know. I mean, you're right. I was raised with a mother with hard knocks. She didn't raise kids to be soft pillows, I guess. I don't know what the word is for that, but I'm sure I'll get some blowback for it. But no, I'm like you. I got you.
I don't know. Grandma told me to go out there and cut a twig out of a tree, and if I brought one back that was dead, oh God, that was the wrong thing to do.
I like it.
And the politicians with their wieners in the wrong place.
That's yeah.
Great. Ew. I don't know. What's up with the whole Republican Party's blaming the fiscal cliff and the tragedy, so now we're going to agree to do something to relieve the fiscal cliff because the American tragedy that just happened?
I think that's just a convenient thing to throw out there. Maybe that's hardcore of me to say that. What's happened is now we're down to, 13 days? And with 13 days to go, the maneuvering over what the number, it seems to be what the number is. Who's considered to be rich? Is it somebody who's making $400,000? Is someone making $1 million? And John Boehner is saying it's Plan B to avoid the cliff. But the president is already saying no. So I don't see a fix.
It went from $250,000 to $400,000. Is that what they're...
Right. And now Boehner is saying, you know, that what about the 1 million? Why isn't 1 million the mark? Talking about that's the possibility to broaden it a little bit more. And Boehner is saying, as you said, it's a difficult time for America. It's not a time to put us through more stress. So let's just, you know, why can't we just shore this up?
I heard him say that today. Okay,
yeah.
Do you make half a million?
No.
I don't either. I don't see the difference.
I don't either, and that's exactly... I said this to somebody. I mean, really, folks, everybody listening to Ryami, what is your number? What is a super rich person? How much is somebody making if they're super rich? I said that they'd be worth like $75 million. And so what do you consider to be a rich person? Who is that person? $500,000? Okay.
We're not making that. Bill Gates, he made it for a couple minutes, but he's giving it back, I think.
He is. Yeah, the super rich are giving it back. Are you kidding? Because to them, it's a drop in the bucket in a sense, and they have great tech. Here's the thing, Ray. When you're wealthy, you have more money to buy better people who can figure out a way so that you pay less taxes. In other words, where you can spend it, what the loophole is, all that kind of stuff. Or if you pay whatever amount of taxes you pay, that you'll get it back in some other way. But that's the beauty of having a great high-priced accountant.
How surprised were you on that football game this weekend?
Which, the Denver game? The game of the week, the nail the score game?
Yeah, the Denver and Baltimore.
Yeah, I was surprised because I picked Baltimore. So I was surprised. I thought it would be a lot closer than it was. But it was...
Did I pick Denver really big over Baltimore? I don't think I got it. But
You didn't get it. Always so close. 47-14 is what you said.
And what was it?
I don't... It was... What was this? I don't remember what the final score was.
It was the 3 the last time I looked at the score, and I was like, Baltimore will never get the 14 that I gave them.
No. It's funny. What's funny is
it's
you always have the...
34-17.
34-17. So you always get so close, but not quite. I know. It's, you blame it on the Olympics every single time. So close, but yet so far away.
Yeah.
Good try, anyway.
We'll try again.
All right. We'll talk to you again. Nail the score coming up, of course, in our next show, Ray. Thanks a lot. Yeah, Big Spread. I'm going to call him Big Spread Ray because every single time he throws out a crazy number and then he gets pretty close with the number. The rest of us, I had the wrong team. I had the Ravens. Hi, the Ravens. And so did a lot of other people, but plenty picked Denver, but nobody came close. In fact, well, I shouldn't say nobody came close, because Dale in Missouri had 31-13. That's not bad, but, you know, nail the score means you got to nail it exactly. It's not like horseshoes. It's not close. Let's put it that way. All right, quickly, I said, you know, when you're looking at all these guys that have the women that stand beside them. It's very intriguing to me, this Scott Broadwell character who's gets in front of the camera, starts answering questions, seeks them out. And his wife is the one who brought down, in a sense, David Petraeus, because that's that's the woman he was having an affair with when she was writing the book. But he's a guy who is handsome looking, has two sons. He just comes out of the house, answers questions, and has no problem with that. And, you know, stands by his woman. So I guess it just shows that men can do the same thing. They can be there, too, as well. It's very... It's very surprising, I don't know, in a sense to me, because it sort of looks like he just looks like he's not at all bothered by it, that he's drinking champagne and celebrating, you know, her 40th birthday in a romantic getaway while everything's breaking about General Petraeus, and he's not concerned about it. By the way, they will not pursue Paula Broadwell for anything connected to what happened with General Petraeus. In other words, you know, that whole email thing, there were thoughts that maybe there would be something that they could take her down on, but it didn't happen because she was cleared of that. So no way can they look for cracks with the email and decide to pursue that. I guess in a civil court, though, there might be an issue about email and privacy and threats, because maybe she made threats to the socialite in Tampa. My, oh, my, a wicked soap opera.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.